Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalms number 90. Psalms number 90. This is a psalm by Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. But their span is but toil and trouble, and they're soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger, of your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses is not only a prayer here, but it's a prayer designed to show us God and man and our relationship to him. Moses is one of the first to declare, as he writes the first books of the Bible, to declare the nature of God. And he establishes several of the characteristics that make God God in this very poem. Remember, when you're reading a poem, you read not only what it says, but then you ask yourself, what does it mean? And here he's describing for us the eternal nature and the wrath of God, our temporary nature and the sins of man, and how our hope is found in God. Let's go back and look at this psalm again. The first thing he tells us is that we come from God. We belong to God in verse 1. We've always belonged to God. We don't live like we do, but we always have. And in verse 1 and 2, he describes the eternal nature of God. He tells us before mountains were made, before the earth was made, before man was made, God was already there. He also describes in verse 3 the power of God, the eternal power that he has. There's nothing God can't do. He is limitless in his power, and he describes that for us. He tells us in verse 4, going back to the eternal nature, but he says it in a little different way, when he says that time does not affect God. Time affects us. We're all on a time schedule. We all are born on a day and die on a day. We all have things going on in our life, and the clock is always ticking, not with God. He tells us that man, in verse 5 and 6, man is transient. We're here and then we're not, but not God. He's not like that. He transcends this. And he uses expressions that we hear again and again in the scripture about how time is like our life is short compared to God's eternal nature. He tells us in verse 7 that we're overwhelmed by the wrath of God. when we know how powerful He is and how eternal He is and how all-knowing He is, and we realize that He is also righteous and has a zero tolerance for sin, it frightens us, and it should, because the wrath of God is all-consuming. In verse 8, He tells us that there's no limit on what God knows. So we've seen He's eternal, He has all power, He is not affected by time, and we also see that He knows everything, even our secret sins, the sins that no one knows but you, well, you and God. He knows everything. And He says these are brought before us. When we stand before God, as He examines us and looks at us, He knows everything. He goes back to our nature in verse 9 when He tells us that our life is like a breath, just a quick little air and then it's over. Our life is like that. Even a long life, 80 years, a long life is like a span. It's like that much. That's not much, is it? And that's what He's telling us here. It's like a span. And because of that, we stand in awe of the wrath of God and the anger of God towards sin. Since we have so little time, we should be spending it all doing good things, but we don't. We spend a lot of time in sin. We spend a lot of time wasted. What would you give to go back up? Even things that aren't sinful in and of themselves are many times a waste. We know what we do that we shouldn't do. We know we shouldn't do so many things that we do. We also know that so much of the time that we spend is useless, vanity. I think I've told you this. I know everybody that lives on Gilligan's Island. I shouldn't know that. What a waste of time. What a waste of time to know which comic book has which heroes. What a waste of time it is to know so many trivial things that have nothing to do with anything, and so much about God we don't know. He says we spend our time for the wrong things. In verse 12, He says, what we need, God, is we need wisdom from You, and we beg it of You. We beg that You will give us wisdom so we'll know how to live like we should. And in verse 13, He tells us, we beg You, God, to have pity on us. We know You love us. He says one of Your qualities is Your steadfast love, but we also need that love. We need it all the time, and we need You to have pity on us. We think pity is a bad thing, but pity is when it's like mercy. It's not receiving what we ought to receive. It goes hand in hand with grace that God gives to us what we don't deserve. One of the things that Moses is depending on here is the same thing that David would depend on in many of his Psalms, is he's depending on the steadfast love of the Lord. We can't count on ourselves. We can't count on time. We can't count on the situations around us, but we can count on God. What if He didn't love us? What if He just was all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, nothing left that He didn't know, knows everything, and He didn't love us? This would be a terrifying thing, wouldn't it? But we know that He loves us. How do we know that? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. We know He loves us. And the steadfast love is the one thing we hold on to. The other attributes of God are comforting only when we know that He loves us. They would be terrifying otherwise. Remember, He talks about the wrath of God is a terror to us. But the fact that He loves us, even His wrath, is a good thing, because we know that what He will do with us will make us better. And so the fires and the affliction and the difficulties and the testing, we count it all joy when we go through these things, because we know that the One who's in charge of everything actually cares about how we turn out. So He tells us here, He says, please love us. We beg You to love us in verse 13. We beg You to have pity on us. And then He says, and then when we receive Your wrath in verse 14, we ask You to be sure and give us Your love with it. We ask You to take care of us. And He says in verse 16, to show us Your glory. We want to know, God. Moses who knew him better than anybody of his generation and most of the people of the Old Testament era. Moses, who spent days in his presence, who actually glowed when he came back from being in his presence. Moses wanted to know more. One time in one of his prayers, Moses asked God to show me your glory. God told him, you won't live through it. Moses said, show me your glory. God made special provisions by putting him in a cave and covering the cave and letting him peek out and see just part of God so that he could have all he could stand and not die. Moses was saying, there's nothing more important than this. That should be our prayer. It was Jesus' prayer. In John, the 17th chapter, he prayed that we would see his glory, that we would understand how great he is and how glorious he is. We should seek that. Most of the time, we seek our glory. Most of the time, we seek what we want. Most of the time, we seek things that are transient. Most of the time, we are thinking in temporary terms. Most of the time, we're wasting our time. But Moses is praying here that we not only would have wisdom from God and wrath from God and love from God, but that we would know more about him and we would see his glory. And then in verse 17, he says, be kind to us and establish our work. What does that mean? Help us. You know how broken we are. You know how weak we are. We're like a little child trying to do something. Maybe in our mind we have it figured out, but the rocks are too big and the boards are too long and the hammer's too heavy. And whatever we're trying to build, we're not going to be able to build it without a lot of help. Our life is like that. The test is too strong and the difficulties are there. The hills are too high and the job is too big. And Moses is praying here that God will not only be kind to us, but he will help us. He will help us do something that will bring him glory. And that's what he tells us in the New Testament. He tells us that he works in us to do his good pleasure. And that so when Paul would get off a boat in a pagan city, and he's the only Christian there, and he would take a breath and walk into that city proclaiming Christ, Paul was not only declaring who he was declaring this great God who does not live in temples made with hands. And the great things that he did brought God the glory. So when Moses asked him to help us and establish our work, he was saying, help us do your work. Moses was a broken man too. He's 80 years old before he finally gets to where God can use him for anything. And even as the man of God in the wilderness, he still has big slip-ups. But one thing he had right, he knew where to go. He was in the presence of God every day, and he was praying for this very thing. And if anything challenged the glory of God, Moses is on his face on the ground. Moses is a praying man and a serious man. And this prayer right here could also be the story of Moses as he talks about how that he belongs to God. He was picked by God and used by God and shepherded by God and carried through this turbulent life that he has. And what happened comes out of it. Well, what he was able to do was glorious. He was able to do it because God worked in him. This should be our prayer. It should be our prayer that we never forget the nature of God. We never forget who he is. We never forget what he is. We never forget what he can do. We never forget how serious he is about sin. We never forget how weak we are. And we always turn to him, and we always turn to him with these last two things. Please. Oh, he said, give us happiness in verse 15. Of course, we'd like for life to be a little easier. We'd like to find the joy of our salvation. But the last two things he talks about our showing the glory of God and God being kind to us and making what we do significant and establish our work, establish what we're doing. There will be a day when most of the things we spend most of our time on will make no difference at all. If there's any regrets in heaven, if God himself has to wipe away a tear from our eye, it will not be the good that we did for him. It will be the time that we wasted. It will be the time that we didn't do what we could have done, that we had opportunity. It should be our prayer. God, establish our work. Be kind to us. Help us with the heavy things. Help us with the long boards that are too long for us to pick up. You know how weak we are, but help us. Help us to establish the work that we have to do in the kingdom of God. Now, what will keep us from doing that is our sloth or our indifference or our pettiness or our unbelievable attachment to the temporary. We have to get past that. Now, Moses had some extra help. Moses had a burning bush. He had the voice of God. He saw miracles. We have extra help too. We have this cross. We have the demonstration of the love of God as He sent His only Son. And we have the Word of God. We know God's will better than Moses did or can. It's all written here. And we have an opportunity to do just the thing that He's praying will be done. Now, if there's something standing between you and that realization of your work being eternally significant, I mean really counting, something important, this is the time. Won't you come to Jesus?